Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That's a surprise. Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten. This is brought to you by redarmybet.com, a new betting site where profits go back into supporting Manchester United fan projects. I'm stood outside the stadium in Santa Clara. Where are you from, mate?
From Reading, originally living in Canada now, Vancouver, BC. Yep, Adrian
and,
Sims.
And how are you feeling about United this season?
Feeling very good. Be even better if Ibra comes back. Feeling good. Defence is secure now with Lindelof, Bailey, Valencia. Just got to make sure Luke's back in playing better soon. First time in my life in lost for words.
What's your name, mate? Where are you from?
Hi, mate. I'm Steve Baxter. I'm from Manchester, but I live in Atlanta.
And how have you got from Atlanta to Santa Clara?
Via every other match. Yeah, we're on the tour, following around. I'm one of the guys who runs One United USA, the umbrella support organisation, and also the Atlanta supporters branch with some of my friends.
Describe where you're stood talking to me now. Describe the scene.
Brilliant. Levi's Stadium, Santa Clara. It's really hot. Place is mad. It's full of Reds. Can't see any Madrid fans, to be honest with you. Just one or two, but it's Red Central, isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's absolutely roasting. There's loads of United fans doing a thing called a tailgate, and we're going to go and walk among them and speak to them. Have a good time.
Cheers, Andy.
Are you going to Washington?
Absolutely. We'll be there. Washington, D.C. Absolutely.
All right. Brilliant. Yeah. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers,
both. Take care. There's an aeroplane going above to land in San Jose Airport, which is where United played a couple of years ago. And there's a couple of Real Madrid fans as well mixing around. And let's just see all the different people. Here's Martin. We left this man on the last podcast in a bar in Houston the other night. Did you get home from that bar okay in Houston?
Yeah, I got a job, remember?
No.
Oh, by the way, I paid the bar bill. You owe me $100.
I don't. He gave us the last two for nothing.
I know. It's good, that, isn't it?
It was decent. How's your trip been?
Brilliant, Andy.
No more flights missed?
No more flights missed, mate. In fact, I can't wait to go back to Vegas again for some reason. We're back. When someone says to me, I've never been to Vegas before, but now, when people say, have you been to Vegas? I'll say, yeah, I've been four times now. I went Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Just in case, because I'm thinking.
Steve Owen.
How many times have you been to Vegas, Martin?
Steve, where are you from, mate?
Oh, Shavon, I just told you.
Yeah, but that was for a different thing. That was.
Oh, sorry.
This is now a podcast.
Oh, go on.
How's your trip been?
Very good holiday. Bastard. I wish these lot stopped swearing because it's on a podcast.
It's not nice to swear,
it's
is
not
it?
Not very nice.
Steve, how are you feeling about
it's children hanging around
United this season?
I'm quite confident about it, actually. I'll put my money on United to win the European Cup.
Really?
I would.
Really?
Everybody buys these two players at once, yeah, why not? I thought he did a brilliant job last year. And you've got to remember, I didn't want Mourinho at Old Trafford.
Right.
Right. But what he did last year, I thought was immense. You know what I mean? And I do think he wants to win the European Cup United.
How long have you followed United, Steve?
First game.
1999.
1971.
Is that right? You started following him just during the treble season? Since 71. What's the most scandalous thing you've done at a game which is safe for people to listen to?
No, I can't say that.
All right.
I'll be lying.
You're definitely a character. The first time I met you, Steve, was in Norway in 1991 when you took all the clothes off on a car ferry.
I put you under my wing, didn't I? Showed you.
No, you looked after me. You did do.
You wouldn't be doing this today if it weren't for me, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't be doing it.
Goodbye.
I had a laugh with you, lads. Jeez.
That's all out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. So, I'm studying a big group of Manchester lads. A lot of them are on the podcast, which is going to go out on Thursday, so I'm not going to speak to you all again because you'd just be getting too famous. You'll have your agents on me case.
Martin's got a new nickname now. What? Woody. Martin McVarner now, his nickname is Woody.
Why?
Because
show the picture.
Let me show you the picture.
Right, what you're going to show me a picture of it?
I was in Houston.
And there's people all around us with barbecues. It's fantastic.
When was in Houston.
Okay.
Woody off Toy Story.
Right, so Martin has been wearing a cap which makes him look like Woody off Toy
Story.
He's
got the same size as Woody.
That is wrong.
I'm going to, one sec. And with Dirty Neck, who was last on the podcast in Stockholm, he's wearing a Manchester t-shirt with a picture of a wasp on it rather than a Manchester bee. Why have you got a wasp on instead of the bee?
Fuck off, you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a fucking shirt, everyone.
Edit that. It's kind of a bit of swearing, isn't it?
It looks like a city shirt.
It looks like a city shirt.
It's a bee.
You've got a city shirt with a wasp on it rather than a Manchester shirt with a bee. Dirty Neck, how's your trip been so far?
Unbelievable.
Yeah?
Unbelievable, apart from the beef.
If I repeated some of the lines here that you said the other night when we were out having a good night out, you had me crying with laughter.
Really?
Lucky you've been very cautious and coy here. You've got to be careful.
What a dancer.
I'll just give one example. There was a lady passing by and you said, "You look like Linda Lovelace." And she looked at you and you said, "Are you saying I look like a fucking porn star?" It's a compliment, love. You've never seen an ugly porn star, have you?
You look anyway.
So, how's the time been here in Santa Clara, San Francisco?
I like this. I did like Houston. I like this place. I love it.
You did seem unhappy in Houston when I saw you.
Yeah, well. That fireballs, and they discovered fireballs in Houston.
Right, what are fireballs?
Did they give you one?
No.
That's like a shot, but like a whiskey, but about a whiskey bit. It's dead sweet, and then it burns the bollocks off you at the end of it. And I do not remember one little bit about it. I had to go to the stadium the next day to remember what the place looked like. I can't even remember the thing. I don't know how I got back. I don't do nothing. But they've done the job.
You can remember going out with me the other night.
Yeah, can they? Yeah, that was the night before. Yeah, I weren't drunk then.
That
fireball thing. Oh, I recommend it to anybody.
Why do you like it here?
I don't know. I just do. Apart from him here. No, it's just good here, isn't it? It's a bit much. It's people. You see people here. You didn't see nobody in Houston, did you?
And what did you make of United beating City the other day?
About it. I made up, obviously, but I can't remember. Literally, can't remember anything.
Did you go in the ground?
Yeah, my body did.
Yeah.
My body
so
did.
So you went in the ground, but you can't remember?
I fell asleep, I think.
Did you?
I think so. I'm not 1,000,000%. I'm pretty sure.
You're not that blue who fell asleep. It was on TV, are you?
It's got my city shirt on.
with the blue wasp on it.
So blue wasp. Yeah,
you came from Manchester and you went to the derby and fell asleep.
Probably, yeah. I've done that under Louis van Gaal most games.
Well, so you weren't impressed by Van Aal. Are you more impressed by Mourinho?
I told you in Stockholm I didn't trust that team. But after Stockholm, even though we didn't play great, it's creeping back to me, the faith and all that. The man for the job, is no doubt about it. The man for the job. We should have got him after your man gone, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Instead of fucking about with them clowns that we've had. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So your trust levels.
It's rising. It's rising.
Yeah.
It's rising. Yeah. He'll rise more when he gets rid of Smalling.
Do you think.
You don't buy this, does he?
You stood here in the tailgate, the atmosphere is fantastic. Think this would catch on at Old Trafford?
Told over as before. I'd rather be them scousers waiting us in that fucking arcade, getting up a drain and all this. Oh, plastic, it's all. No, it's not for me, this. Not for me. Especially when I'm not drinking.
Can I interrupt a second, right? What's this guy here, right? This guy, the lady over there says to me, this guy's from Ireland. So I said, oh, you're from Ireland? He said, yeah. He said, you must know it. He said to me, Ireland. He said, you must know it. He said, it's an island just near where you live in England. So I said to him, yeah, put my hand out and shake his hand. I said, yeah, from Manchester. He went, oh, Jesus, what a pity.
And who do you support, mate?
Mm.
Who do you support? Which football team?
Is Bayern Munich playing today?
So you're from Ireland, which you've just explained as being an island off the coast of the UK.
The Irish don't have the good teams. Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland are both in the hunt for the World Cup. They're not going to qualify. They never do. So
Manchester United are very popular in Ireland, and Liverpool as well.
Yeah, but this is America.
How long have you lived over here?
When I watch the Premier League, I actually root for Liverpool.
Right.
Or Chelsea.
Yeah? Liverpool or Chelsea?
Yeah.
You can't have more than one team.
Well, it depends on who's playing.
Come on. Who did you...
So, typical scouts.
Sounds okay. Like emails.
Okay, then I'll say Liverpool.
Right. Okay. Liverpool or Chelsea.
And when I was watching the Spanish league, La Liga, I'm a Barcelona fan.
Right. Okay.
But today...
Who do you think is going to win today?
I think it depends on who's on the roster, who's actively on the roster.
If they play the strongest teams or not.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to carry on.
I'm diplomatic about this.
Okay. So, I mean, it's bizarre, that gentleman there saying that he supports Liverpool and Chelsea and Barcelona. And it's a completely alien concept to me. But it's actually not as ridiculous as it sounds in the US, where there are people who support multiple clubs. I've never heard of someone supporting two clubs in the same league, but they also follow personalities as well. But then I'm stood in the car park, car lot, whatever it's called, and it's full of pretty hardcore United fans, American United fans, who they follow Manchester United. They know everything that's going on at the club. Their level of knowledge is very high. They're having a great time. There's just tables out full of beer. There's families here. There's loads of girls as well. The ratio of male to female is very different to what it would be at a game in England. There's something called the Game Day DJ. I'm not going to walk too close to him because the music is really loud. I'm going to head into the stadium and then let's see who else we meet as part of this podcast. We appreciate the partners who help fund this website so that you can listen to it for free. And we have a new one, Harry's. Harry's is an American company, and I received a package from them a couple of weeks ago. Quite a cool package with a razor inside and some shaving cream. And you can receive the same one for just £2.95. Here's the story. Two best friends, Jeff and Andy, were fed up with being overcharged for razors. They did the research and found out there's no real reason for razors to cost so much. So they started their own razor company, that's Harry's, 4 years ago. And since then they've been making shaving better, so they say, for over 3 million men in America. They just launched in the UK now. And they thought that there's only one way to ensure quality in shaving. And they wanted to cut out some of the costs which had made the blade so expensive. So they bought a factory with 100 years of blade making experience, and by controlling that blade making process, they take less profit and pass those savings directly onto the people buying the blades. So the result is a decent shave at a very decent price. So for £2.95, you can get a trial set which includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip. You get some foam gel. It's fine to me. My wife liked the smell of it. It just seemed like normal shave gel, if I'm honest. A travel blade cover, and it comes in a decent box. It's usually £11.50, but you can get it for £2.95. To get started and claim your trial set, you need to go to harrys.com/United. That's harrys.com/United. And I think it's definitely worth doing for £2.95. If you like it, carry on. And they'll deliver the blades to you as often or as infrequently
as you want. So no more pissballing about in supermarkets asking people to unlock cases with expensive razor blades in them. I'd give it a try, £2.95. It's well less than a cost of a pint. And then they delivered them to your house. I think it's a decent idea and appreciate them supporting this podcast as well.
What's your name, sir, and where are you from?
I'm popularly known as Mr. Miyagi, Man United.
And whereabouts are you from?
I'm actually, I live in Manchester now.
Born in Manchester?
No, unfortunately not, but I was in the UK. I have been in the UK since 1963.
And where were you born?
In Malaysia.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Malaysia?
Kuala Lumpur.
Really? And would that have been a part of the British Empire when you were born?
Yes, that was Malaya.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
A long time ago now. But I have been a United fan since 1960. Before I went to the UK.
Why did you move from Malaya to the UK?
Oh, education.
Yeah.
I was sent by my parents to have a good education, shall we say.
And you're wearing a t-shirt, Oh Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
I've heard that sung at games around Old Trafford. And tell us the story of your trip over here. You've been meeting fans and just joining in, having a good time.
Yes, I'm absolutely amazed at these tailgate events. I've never been to one ever before. The first one was last week in LA, and it was amazing. I mean, it's like a street party.
So you've followed United since 1960?
Yes.
You've travelled far and wide watching United as well?
Not as much as I would have liked to. Although I have been a season ticket holder since the early 90s.
And what have been your high and low points as a United fan?
I would say the low point, although I wasn't in the UK then, would be Munich, I imagine.
And for you personally, as a fan?
As a fan,
yeah.
Yes.
But you know, you weren't in the UK. Was there a game which was a bad result for you, or relegation, or what's been the worst result for you?
That was when City scored in the last minute, injury time, deprived of the title. At Sunderland. We were in Sunderland, of course.
Yeah. And that was probably the last moment which left me startled watching a game of football. And thinking, I can't believe that has just happened.
Yeah.
And then getting really annoyed with myself because I'd let it really badly get to me.
Right.
Let's be more positive.
Right. The high point.
Yeah.
I would say the high point is actually Barcelona, of course.
Were you there in Camp Nou?
I was there, totally unexpected. I mean, this is why it was so special. Totally unexpected. 5 minutes before full time, tears are streaming down. We're chanting, "We love you, United," which means that, you know, we still love you, but that's it. And it's totally unexpected. I mean, I can't express the elation, the joy inside. That was tremendous.
You sing songs at Old Trafford or just in the pubs before games?
I also sing at Old Trafford, but unfortunately I sit in the South Stand where you're supposed to behave yourself. Although I do change the words, which make them feel very, very happy because they know I respect them. You know, I take away those words which are not repeatable.
United are hugely popular in Malaysia. I mean, I've seen the team play against Selangor, and
yes,
we get a lot of correspondence from Malaysia as well.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Malaysia much?
No, not now.
No?
I don't have much family there now.
Okay.
I mean, the time when I was a United fan in Malaysia, they're very different. You didn't have television, and certainly didn't have social media, so now it's very different.
How are you feeling about this season, Mr. Miyagi?
You mean a forthcoming season? I would have liked if we have signed at least another player, to be honest.
Who? Aguero.
Not Aguero, a good midfielder.
Okay.
Defensive midfielder. I mean, I think there's talk now of getting Verratti, which I think...
He's a great player.
Great player.
Great player.
And if Arsenal who greets us out, him to us, Sanchez. I tell you, we have Sanchez and Verratti. I think we'll be thereabouts.
Well, United were Sanchez's second choice in 2011.
Yeah.
City, Barcelona and United all offered an amount of money to Udinese, which they were happy with.
Right.
And he liked the idea of going to United.
Right.
But his father had said, I would love one day for you to play for Barcelona. And his father had passed away a couple of years earlier. So I think that swung it. But David Gill definitely gave a mandate for Manchester United to sign Sanchez. That's 6 years ago now. And he'd be good. I'm not sure whether United are going in for him or not. They're being very, very coy about it. Verratti, I saw him have a wonderful game last season.
Right.
At Camp Nou for Paris Saint-Germain. Sorry, Parc des Princes against Barcelona. Less of a wonderful game at Camp Nou because Barcelona knocked him out of the tournament. And are you going to the game in Washington against Barca?
I'm doing the whole tour.
And you're then flying back over to Manchester?
Yes.
And have you taken this as like a holiday? Have work okay about it?
Yes, it's a holiday. I mean, the show for sale is for charity.
Oh, cool. Give them so tell me what you're doing then. I didn't realise this.
I've never come up with anything to do with the Miss Miyagi persona. This is the first time, so I thought I'll do a shirt for the tour. And I've always said that if ever I do sell anything, a donation will be made to the Cornerstone Day Center in Denmark Road, Manchester, a homeless charity. And as you can see from the notice, I mean, this is something dear to my heart.
Why?
Because I've had, sorry, I'm getting emotional now, but I've had tremendous amount of happiness, sometimes frustration, as you know, supporting United, and as well as support from people in Manchester. And I live there now, so I want to give something back.
Okay.
So this is why I've chosen. I mean, I actually try to go for the children's charity, but unfortunately, they're all not the kind of chance that you make, you know, might not be acceptable.
Okay, Mr. Miyagi, I'm going to head into the stadium now. It's been lovely to speak
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
So that's T-shirts being sold with Mr. Miyagi's image on, and every penny is going to the Cornerstone Day Centre.
Yeah.
It's a homeless charity in Manchester, so that's really good.
The game between Manchester United and Real Madrid is about to start. And I'm in the press area with Mark Ogden. Since we last spoke, Mark has moved to ESPN, where he's now the head of the entire ESPN organisation across the world, writing about football. How's this trip been for you, Mark?
Yeah, it's been good. American trips are always easier than other trips, like in the Far East. Everything seems to work, everything runs pretty well. And access from United has been good. You know, they've really pushed the balls out this summer. Not just for me, but for everybody. I think they've realised the importance of being open and accessible, and have been, so yeah, no complaints.
And I'd extend that to United We Stand. We've got some decent interviews coming up in the mag with people like Valencia and Rojo. We've got a couple of others lined up, which I'll reveal closer to when they come out. But it's a good sign, isn't it? And I think it's right. You know, you make the effort to travel to the other side of the world as a journalist, it's good to get access.
Yeah, absolutely, because I've got a slightly different role now, but the guys that cover Manchester United on a weekly basis, you know, that it is the job, and I've been on these trips for the last 10-12 years, and I remember the first one I went on to was South Africa in 2006. It was pretty much four or five national papers. I don't even think MUTV went, so you know, the national lads have stayed with it all the way through, and it's now become such a much bigger thing. It's
I mean, as recently as 4 years ago, the Manchester Evening News were not sending.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everybody.
I covered it for him.
Yeah. Now they got two or three people there. Yeah. So everyone just floods it now, and that makes it more difficult for United to, accommodate everybody, because there's so many people that want something. So what they've done this time, they've had two or three media days in LA where they've just, ring fenced 3-4 hours, and everyone gets the bit. So, I think it's worked. Other clubs, well, I'll say it, Man City haven't been anything like as cooperative. Spurs have been great. Spurs provided Pochettino, Harry Kane.
What is it with City? Because they're clearly growing, they're clearly ambitious.
Mm.
Surely they should be embracing the media who's following them, because they're a long, long way behind Manchester United. And I'm speaking objectively here, but I know there's some very good people work at City, but I look at some of the other people and I see evidence of arrogance.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think with home city, they've got this situation where a lot of the Catalans have come in, and it's, there's a separation between the Catalan side of the club, which is Ferran Soriano, Bagiri Stein, Pep. Pep's kind of, I suppose, his bag man, a guy called Manel Estiarte, who just, wherever Pep goes, this guy goes. And it's almost like they kind of ring-fence themselves, and everyone else is kind of just hoping for a bit of an in there, and they're not getting it. And I think
even with the journalists, I know a couple of lads who've moved from Barcelona to Manchester who are very close to Pep, and it's like they only go with who they trust.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame, really, because I think City have lost their identity in a way. You know, City's identity to me is, you know,
never winning anything.
Oh yeah. Rightly or wrongly, they are a club that's got a much stronger fan base within Manchester than around the world. And but they seem to have forgotten that, and they're trying to project themselves as a global club. I mean, getting back to the original thing about why they're not pushing the boat out over here. Well, I don't understand. I think, in a sense, they treat Pep as the Dalai Lama. You know, and nobody can speak to Pep because Pep's Pep. You know, he's ready. He's not serious, and Pep's this, and Pep's that. You know, I think of a monkey's really if he's this or that. Mourinho's spoken to us. You know, Klopp's spoken to us in Hong Kong. Like I said, Pochettino, all these people have spoken. So. For me, he's not bigger than those, and last season he was nowhere near it because he didn't win anything. So if they kind of tone it down a level a little bit and add some more humility, that might help them, in the sense that the scene that United are being pictured with all these Hollywood A-listers and people turning up at training, which is not, you know, that's been planned, in a sense, because United, you know, it doesn't just happen off the cuff, but United have actually dominated the media over here, and City are nowhere to be seen, and City need to push it a little bit and make more people like Aguero, make more people like Gabriel Jesus, and make more of Pep.
Because Aguero is a major world football star, isn't he?
He is.
Especially in this country with a large Spanish-speaking population too.
He is, but I've not seen a word from him, or I've not seen him anywhere on this trip. And I don't know, City tend to treat people as though they're like royalty, and they're not really, you know, they're just footballers.
They did win the League Cup in 1976.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they brought Paul Dicker out as their legend in Houston, which I thought was quite fun. But
when Jose has done his press conferences, he's inevitably been asked about transfer speculation. What do you make of United's movements at the moment? They seem to be keeping things as close to the chest as they can do.
Yeah.
And they're not bringing in the players in that Jose wants. You spoke to Jose.
Yeah.
How do you read the situation at the moment?
I think he's frustrated. I think they brought two in so far. They need more. I mean, they do need at least four, I think, or certainly two more. I've been told that a couple of the deals are just hanging on maybe £4 or £5 million either way.
But that's been the case for two or three weeks.
I know, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that you've got to give City credit for and praise for, when the deal needs to be done, they just get it done. If they pay over the odds, they get it done. But sometimes you have to pay over the odds. And I think there are times when it has to hurt you to spend some money. You know, back in the day when United had spent £30 million on Rio, or, you know, Brian Robson, 1.5 million. It was a big deal, and people were like, wow, look at the size of that deal.
You know, when Robson joined the club, Sir Bobby Charlton stepped down as a director. No, sorry, Sir Matt Busby, in disgust at the size of the transfer fee.
Yeah, well, but it was paid back over the years, wasn't it?
Paid back about 2 years with Robson.
Roy Keane's was. Ronaldo to Real Madrid, that was a bargain. United were undersold him there. So what I'm saying is that, you know, rather than quibble over £5 million here and there, just pay the money, they've got the money. And that's the way the market's going. You have to spend a bit more these days. And United keep talking about how the biggest and richest club in the world, and they proved it with Pogba last year. But sometimes you just got to say, right, if Inter Milan want this for Perez, pay it, get it in, get him in the door, because the preparation is missing now, and Matic and Eric Dier about that they're missing. It could be significant in the start of the season when they're not as fit as they should be.
I get that. I also think that Pogba, you can see, is probably going to be the best player of his generation in his position. Perisic, Eric Dier doesn't even get in the Tottenham team in his best position.
No.
And the prices have become so ridiculously inflated.
Yeah, I think with Dier, that I saw at the Euros last year, I thought he was England's best player of a bad bunch, let's be honest. Centre midfield. Tottenham has been messed around. Wanyama's come in, they put him at centre half. He's not quick enough to play centre half. But I think, as a defensive midfielder, I think he's probably a better bet than Matic, because he's 5 years younger. Similar sort of price. I mean, Matic is the ready-made guy and he's won titles, but, you know, he's 29, I think. So if you're looking for players that can give you long-term value, I think
United seem to be, don't they?
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised he didn't push out of a Bakayoko. I think he'd have been perfect, but Chelsea went in for him. Perisic, I agree, Perisic is a lot of money for a guy at his age, but sometimes you just got to do it. I mean, I'm not saying he's a Robin Van Persie, but the Van Persie deal probably was a lot of money for a guy that got one really good season, but that really good season won the league.
It was a great season. His impact was incredible.
Absolutely, and he stopped him going to Man City, and if he got to Man City, they could have really pulled away from the pack for that year. So it was worth it in the end. And I think sometimes you just got to pay a bit more, and, you know, throw your weight around your Man United, spend a bit more money, and just say, look, we've said we're the richest, and we're proving it. We're making it impossible for clubs to say no. You know, PSG might be getting Neymar, right? £200 million. Well, United have been sniffing around Neymar for 2-3 years. They really want him. Now is the time to say, okay, we'll match that, and it's an awful lot of money. But
especially with the pound compared to 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, yeah, but you know, they've got to make it hurt. You know, I suppose when they signed Real for £30 million, but for Wayne Rooney when he was 27, that was like next year's money. If you think the player's that good and he's going to make that much of a difference, spend it. And it will repay itself over the years, as Rio did, as Rooney did, as Robson did, as Roy Keane did, as Alan Shearer would have done if he ever came, you know. So,
and they've got a couple of high earners off the wage bill.
Yeah.
Rooney
and Zlatan.
Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the money's there.
There'll probably be a few more leaving.
Yeah. You know, and I suppose that money was set aside for Griezmann, who, you know,
he wanted to come.
Yeah, of course. And I think, you know, with Griezmann, I think the Diego Costa thing is interesting, because I think once Costa agreed to go to Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and they know he can play in January, that might change things in Griezmann a little bit. There's 6 weeks to go this window, and I think a lot can happen.
He definitely wanted to go to Manchester United.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he felt this sense of loyalty, and it would be seen as a traitor.
Which I get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand that.
But whether he realised that if you wait a year, that move might never happen. We see all sorts of players that, you know, have had moves lined up a year down the line and they get injured, or something happens and manage to change it. It doesn't happen. So.
Or you have the Herrera effect, where the club just keep tabs
at
the distance and then bring him in.
Absolutely, but it's all about the moment. You seize the moment, don't you? I think so. I don't think Griezmann will come, but I do think there might still be possibilities there if Costa moves to Atletico this month and he realises that he's been loyal to Atletico. They've got the replacement in, and you know, we'll wait and see on that one.
United and City were a long, long way off champions last year. How do you think it's going to pan out this season? I think United have got the squad to make a serious title challenge, because Jose knew he hadn't last year, and we've surveyed and polled United We Stand readers, and they think it'll be a sort of third place position.
I'm not sure they're ready to win it yet.
I think it's good that De Gea's going to definitely stay, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a big plus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's the best keeper in the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
and he's now going to, the longer he stays, he's now spending the majority of his career at Manchester United.
Well, I mean, I've been told that Madrid don't have the money to do it. I mean, they've sold Morata now, and they've sold Danilo to City, but are they going to spend £80 million on a keeper when they've got a decent keeper in Navas? I mean, they've won two Champions League with Navas. So.
And he's very popular in the dressing room. I've interviewed Navas several times. He's a great guy.
Yeah, so why
just not Spanish.
Spend money on,
well, it's not worth paying £70 million just for a nationality.
No, absolutely, when, you know, they need people, because they've got quite an old team. Ramos is getting on a bit, Ronaldo's getting on a bit, Benzema's getting on a bit, so probably need to spend it somewhere else. But just on United title hopes, you look around the other teams in the top six. Chelsea got Hazard, Liverpool got Coutinho, City have got David Silva, Aguero, Gabriel Jesus, you know, Tottenham have got Dele Alli. I don't think United have got that magician, that kind of bit of magic, the fantasy player. I mean, Pogba's got something, but he's not. They haven't got that kind of, I mean, Ronaldo's, that guy can change a game in an instant. I still don't think they have that yet.
Have you made it the way that Pogba deals with the media?
I think he probably needs to chill out a little bit and be a bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, he's becoming a leader in the dressing room. He's not the captain yet, because Carrick's the captain, but I think he's becoming a player that a lot of the
He wanted the captaincy.
Yeah, but I think to be a captain, you've got to deliver on the pitch as well as off it.
You've got to speak to people off it.
Yeah, be a bit of a leader, and I think he needs to become the spokes, the Vidic, or the Evra figure, the guy that leads by example off the pitch. You know, Roy Keane used to always do it. Probably didn't want to do it all the time, but when the big players speak, it ripples in the dressing room as well as beyond that. I think Pogba sometimes needs to say something, but he doesn't do anything. And I think that's probably holding him back. I think, you know, he's only young, he will grow, and we've seen it with loads of players in the past. When they're 22, 23, they don't want to know, they want to kind of strut around and think that they don't need it, but they get a bit old and they realise that, it's a horrible word, brand, but in terms of the brand, it all helps the brand, that the guy that when he says things, it matters that people listen. I think Pogba needs to develop that and become a leader off the pitch as well as on it. You know, become more of a leader on the pitch as well.
Which players have impressed you on this tour, and what have you made of the new signings, Lindelof and Lukaku?
Lindelof, I think,
he's not really done out, has he?
Not really. I think there was a couple of moments against City where he looked a little bit iffy. I mean, I put a tweet out saying that he's not the nut to convince me he's an upgrade on Jones and Smalling, and I was obviously obliterated for it. But just an honest opinion. I'm not saying he's crap or hopeless, but he's not a player that's coming in and thinking, wow, you know, like when Rio came in and he's getting the ball, it's early days. You can't just anything on these tours, really. Lukaku, great finish against City. That was real kind of horror moment. That was
and some of that attacking play against City was really impressive.
I think him and Rashford
got
together.
Pace up there. Yeah.
I mean, it's,
that's exciting.
Yeah, you look at the whole Cole and York thing. The fashion's gone away from two up front. But if you've got two players up front that can destroy teams, will play. And I think the pace and power those two have got. Rashford's impressed me on tour. He's taken a step up. And I've been banging his drum for a while, but I think missing the other 21s was the best thing that could happen. Just a bit of rest, bit of
stronger, bigger.
Yeah, but just clear his mind as well. Yeah. Have a month off and just go. You know, go on a boat in Dubai and just chill out and mess about whatever, but he's impressed me. I think those are the standouts for me, Lukaku and Rashford. Mkhitaryan comes and goes, I don't know. I'm not sure whether he's top end. But
I spoke to him the other night and he said he's in a much better place than he was a year ago.
Yeah.
Which was heading for 3 months on the bench, so you would hope so.
It's pretty weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I do think they are missing. I think I'm missing something.
Well, maybe if we'd had this chat a year and a half ago, we might have been saying in a year and a half's time, Anthony Martial could be the man who could be giving us that something at Manchester United. He's not having a good time of it, is he?
No, I think he's got a big 6 months.
Yeah.
If it's here, I'm not convinced. I mean, I could see that if somebody comes in for him and offers him some money, that I don't think Jose's sold him at all, and I think he's not done enough to, in the last 18 months to show. I mean, he had a good first 6 months, but after that.
You saw his body language when if you sit in the main stand, it's really clear to see every time he makes a mistake, Jose sort of winces and turns round in frustration.
Yeah. He's got a great talent, hasn't he? I'm not sure whether he's got the
I'd love him to come good.
Whether he's got the desire and the commitment and the dedication to do it, and you'll probably look back in 4 or 5 years' time and think, God, I had a real chance there.
Yeah. And players do that. I went to see Makeda and he said my one regret was pretty much what you've just said. I should have pushed myself on a little bit more. I should have been more professional and a little bit less of a knobhead, basically.
I think Adnan Januzaj had the same conversation with himself in 5 years' time.
Yeah, but he won't now. No. At the moment, they get the ump for 2 or 3 years, and they blame the world.
Absolutely, when he's played for Standard Liège in 5 years' time, Januzaj might think, Jesus, the world will be free, and I'll let it slip. So,
because he was hugely talented, Januzaj, wasn't he?
I know, he was a real star, wasn't he? Real star. You know, he's just had some bad moves and some bad advice, bad attitude. You know, somebody said there was a good bunch. He was the one that just wouldn't take it on board. Even Fellaini tried to get into his head, and it wasn't really working. So he was never going to work in the brain. He wasn't. It was never going to happen for him. But Luke Shaw's interesting. I think I've been told that he's really kind of put his head down.
Yeah, he did 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he's impressed Jose. I mean, two years ago he was flying until he did his leg.
Yeah, two months didn't he up until Eindhoven, and I spoke to him after the first pre-season in Seattle, and he gave me some really good quotes about, I've done this for the summer, I've been training with Januzaj actually in Dubai.
Yeah, I remember that.
But from the first game in Seattle, he was the best player on the pitch.
And I always thought that if he'd have stayed fit, we would have seen a different Memphis Depay because they were good mates and they had a real good kind of thing down the left hand side. But you know, Luke got injured and Depay just went off a cliff after that, because he didn't have a guy behind that was, you know, bombing on. So it's funny how one player getting injured can affect others, but it'd be good to see him back, because United do need a better left back. You know, Daley Blint, he's, you know, Mr. is solid and reliable, he's committed, but he's not a left back. I don't know what he is, to be honest, but he's
Dutch.
Yeah, he's that utility player, isn't he? But he'll always, not quick enough to be centre half, but he reads again really well. Centre midfield, he's quick enough with his feet, but wherever he goes, he does a good job. But it's not a left back that you can say he's going to win the league or the Champions League.
Finally, can you see Mourinho being here in 3, 5, 10 years? He talks a story up of longevity, and yet I see him and Ed Woodward, who've got a good relationship, but basically briefing against each other.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy, but in a sense, it is healthy. It's healthy in the sense that there's a desire to get things done properly, but. I think in 3 years' time he'll be managing PSG. I just think he's still in the Lowry, isn't he? And there's no sign that he's going to move out of the Lowry and settle down. But I just think what United need now is someone like Mourinho to come in and get them back to where they were, an established force. And not that isn't finishing third, that's winning the league. And I just don't see it at the minute. I don't see him being ready to do that. I think there's too much strength elsewhere at the moment.
Let's talk about this Lowry thing, right? If you moved to Manchester and your partner stayed in London,
yeah.
Why not stay in the Lowry? You get all your washing done. You're right in the centre of town.
Yeah.
You've got room service on tap.
I know. I know what
you don't have to worry about your council tax. And I know what you're saying as well, but when I put it to him, he knocked it straight back saying he's happy and all that, as he would do.
Yeah.
It does seem odd to live in a hotel for 3 years, but he's operating in a different world to you and I.
Absolutely.
Financial cost is just not an issue.
No, no.
You might have a canoe which goes down the hill every morning for we know.
I just want you. I'd probably go to the Gotham or the Radisson instead. The better hotels.
Thanks for your time.
No worries, mate. Trying to get a freestyle the whole time.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.